In the book of Colossians, I had outlines on the back of the chair. Did anybody come in and forgot to pick one up and need one? We're all good? All right. Be sure to take those out so you can take notes and follow along. A lot of times we don't spend a great deal of devotional time on our sins, but it's good and necessary for us to deeply look at God's Word of sins that He specifically commands us to put off and mortify for our self-examination. Certainly not intended for us to read it and thump somebody on the head with it, but to examine our own hearts to see if we need to root out those sins. Too often, when we just simply go over and touch on it, and you all know what anger is, so let go on and go on. But when you take time and look at all of the arsenal of verses that speak to the subject and the issue, it gives you a more complete picture to its ugliness, its is destruction, its devastation, which sin always does. Trust me, I'm looking forward to the put-ons. Those things are a good thing and delightful, and we can't get enough of the things that too often we don't take the energy and put in the effort to pursue to put on. So much of the Christian life that's taught by so many churches, it's all about don't do this, but very little about you need to do this. And because unless you do, you don't really manifest the likeness of Jesus Christ. So this evening, we'll do the next three on the list. Let's look at verse 8 of Colossians 3, 8 and 9. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Let's pray. Father, be with us tonight. Lord, as we come to address the subject that every one of us has failed in, and that is the use of our tongue, our speech. So often we don't realize the words that we say are not honoring you or fitting to come from the lips of a Christian. Even James said, no man can tame the tongue. But you can. You have to put off these things. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to be honest with ourselves. And so often we subconsciously, which is the scary part, say things that if we thought about and listened to what we're saying, we would cease. So, Father, help us. Help us to honor you with our speech. You gave us the ability to communicate, and you gave it to us for a reason, not to abuse, not to use it for our own purposes, but for you. And so, Lord, help us to realize the tongue that you have given to us is meant to be a blessing to so many, and that we will give an account for everything that we have ever said. So, Father, be with us tonight. May we again be attentive to the hearing of your word. May it go forth in power. And may we respond appropriately in Christ's name. Amen. By way of introduction, we now come to the sinful use of the tongue. clearly you see here, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, and do not lie to one another. James chapter 3, verse 8, that no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Even that good book called Proverbs 18:21, it said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The Bible makes it clear that God's people should never be people who say both bitter words and sweet words, good words and bad words from the same mouth. We see that in James 3, later on in verse 10, 11. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. If you belong to me and I have begun a work in your heart, you should not be bringing forth bitter things and cursing. He goes on, does a spring bring forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? That makes sense. That's common sense. No, one spring either brings bad water or good water. It doesn't bring a mixture. Our tongues have been given to us, beloved, to speak the truth and always the truth and to declare praise and thankfulness to the Lord. We are to never use our tongue to sin, to speak error and falsehood, and never to lie and intentionally deceive others. We as God's people must avoid using critical and abusive speech of others as well. So let's take a look at it. The first one I got, putting off slander, which is the word blasphemy. The word blasphemy here is the word in the New Testament, it's used in two different ways. It's either in reference to God or in reference to people. It's usually associated with whenever we defame or verbally attack the character of God, that's kind of been known as blasphemy. When we speak evil or injure the reputation of a good person, it's been called slander. Blaspheming God's holy name and character is out of line for any person, especially a Christian. Also, to slander people is another way indirectly to blaspheme God, because He had created men and women in His image. Our passage is calling that to put off using our tongue to defame for malicious reason another person's good name. One commentator said it this way, the believer's speech must not be marred by insult of disparaging remark directed at others. Too often we use our tongue to be hurtful, malicious, mean. Too often it's sad that God's people have been accused of gossip and spreading misinformation. You can even do it on Facebook. You can take something and, hey, I like what this said. And you don't fact check it. You don't see if it's true. You don't even find out if there's legitimacy to it. You just, I like it. It seems to have a compelling argument from my position. Boom, forward it on. Share, share, share. Like. You send misinformation, it's false. It's wrong. It's misleading. We are people of truth. Man, that takes work. That's right. Do the work. Or don't forward it on and let you know absolutely sure. The word, this particular word blasphemy, as it was used throughout the New Testament, and every time I looked it up, it was in reference of how it was used with people, not God, because that's pretty obvious. We know when people are blaspheming God Himself, attacking His character, His attributes, His being. We all know that it fundamentally off base. But this word, as it was used in a slanderous way, Romans 3:8 said this, and why not say, let it do evil that good may come? Listen carefully. As we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just. So we have here the Apostle Paul is talking about being slanderously reported. Now, slander is defaming a person's name and character that had no basis. Here, Paul would be slandered, reported, a report would send out that was specifically designed to slander Paul. 1 Corinthians 4:13 said, being defamed, misrepresented. It's another way of saying it. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made at the filth of the world, the offspring of all things until now. In other words, the world and people are defaming Paul and the apostles and disciples of Jesus Christ in such a way that the world sees them as nothing but the filth of the world. 1 Corinthians 10:30. But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of? That word evil spoken of, that phrase with the same word as blasphemy here. So you can see how the translators used it to help it to get a fuller understanding of this word and how it was used and how we misuse our speech and tongue to slander and defame and to speak evil of people. 1 Peter 4:4, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them with the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Later on, he teaches, you don't run around like you do, getting drunk and rivalry and fighting and all of that other stuff. And so, therefore, they speak evil of you. Same word. They slander you. Oh, man, don't gotten religion. Johnny Sunday school Johnny, and you're too good, he can't be around it anymore. So they, rather than talking to their friend, they speak slanderously of them. Here's another one, 2 Peter 2:2. Many will follow their destructive way because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Interesting. You have false teachers. We know 2 Peter is primarily a book addressing how to deal with false teachers, who they are, the marks of a false teacher, and how to deal with them. Here, false teachers, they live in such a way and teach in such a way that the truth of God's word is blaspheme or slander. They misrepresent and distort the word of God by the who they are, and their followers do the same thing. Titus 3:2, here's a good one. To speak evil of no one. That's the word blasphemy here, or slander. But you're supposed to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So the next time you want to gossip something bad and juicy about somebody, whether it's true or not, if it is true, mum the word. If you have an issue with them, Matthew 18 tells you to go to them and resolve the issue. But too many people don't want to do that hard work, and they rather just slander people, misrepresent people, talk behind their back, than to their faith to resolve issues. Here we are entitled, speak evil of no one. We are supposed to be people who are peaceable and gentle. But what about when they come after us? God deals with them. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. The phrase evil speaking, same Greek word for slander or blasphemy, be put away with from you. I love this, the little imagery found in Psalm 64, verse 3 and 4. Here the psalmist is talking about wicked people whose weapon of choice is the tongue. And the psalmist used quite an imagery here. Listen carefully. Psalm 64, verse 3 and 4. Who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bow to shoot their arrow. Bitter words. that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. So here you got the wicked who use it to sharpen their tongue like a sword. They try to pick the most, you know, devastating, calculating word to do the most damage at the optimum time. They don't care if it's true. They don't care if it's a misrepresentation of the person. It's interesting that they shoot their arrows at the blameless. And they do it in secret so nobody can tell where it came from. And they don't fear that they're going to have to answer for those words. So, beloved, it's not a strange thing that if you are a blameless person, that you're going to get sheep shots that's intended to hurt. Attack your reputation. That's why I have always told people, don't worry about your reputation. Worry about your character. Reputation, they're going to mutilate and do everything they can, chew it up and spit it out, but they can't change your character, and those who know you the most know that it's not true. Reputation, they like clay, they use whatever they want. It's sad that wicked people do it to their sinful and evil end. We learned this morning about for malicious reasons and on. So here, point number one talked about, be careful what you say about people. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. If they need correction, rebuke, instruction, go to them. But so often we do it with direct, bold-faced gossip or indirect innuendo. Well, somebody would get it. What do you mean? And then the juicy conversation begins. Shame on us for talking like that. God said to put that kind of stuff off. Put it off, discard it, never to be picked up again. Control your tongue. Learn to love people. When you love people, you won't use your tongue to hurt their name. Point number two is the last phrase of verse 8. This is the only time this phrase is used. Filthy language out of your mouth. It's an interesting word. Filthy speech is exactly what the word means. Something that is obscene and derogatory to hurt and wound someone. Ephesians 4:23 said it this way. 4:29 said it this way. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Words that are disgraceful and abusive to others and dishonoring either to their face or behind their back is wrong. Period. Such talk is expressly forbidden. We are to put off filthy language out of our mouth. Mouth death, speech, and using our lips and tongue that's used to demean and be derogatory and disgraceful, even downright abusive. We all know the old saying that we heard growing up, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We know that's false. I've had a lot of injuries physically on me, but the most devastating wounds are the words that were spoken in a mean-spirited from somebody I trusted and loved. You remember them to this day. We need to be careful that we don't be intimate of a negative memory by a bad use of our speech. Again, such talk is strictly forbidden in Scripture. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 to this, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor court jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So here we got, don't go here, but use your tongue for the giving of thanks. We have all eternity to be thankful for a great God, and the Creator and our Redeemer. We have so much to be thankful for, many of His human intimate that He had used to move, to be good and gracious, to display the goodness of God to us. And we have to be thankful for them. Mother's Day is the perfect case in point. Even bad mothers had good days from time to time. And you have great mothers who left a very positive impact upon their children's lives. And a lot of it because they know how to speak a good word. In Matthew 12, verse 35 and 36, it gives us some really good instruction of why we have problems with slander and filthy language or derogatory speech to cut people down, to put them in their place, rather than loving them, having a conversation, having a genuine relationship. You'd just rather cut it off and you use abusive speech to just stay out of the way. Matthew 12, 35 and 6 says this: a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil thing. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. So first of all, we need to understand the reason why people speak slander and blasphemy and filthy language. And next, we're going to talk about lying in a moment and using their tongue for the wrong reason, for hurtful reason, for destructive reason. It's because you got a bad heart that need to be mortifying some of these things in your soul. You cannot speak good unless you have a good heart, and only God can do that. And obviously, you're not working with God to transform your heart, renew your mind. And he warned that be careful how you use your tongue, because you will give an account for every idle word. Now let me give you an example. The word idle means careless word, off the cuff, didn't even think about it. You know, how many times have we said something and all of a sudden the targeted person was hurt by it, they called you on it. Oh man, I wasn't thinking. You're still going to give an account for it. That's why you got to guard your mouth. Be careful what you're going to say. And don't go think for a second, well, it's not that bad. And God's word makes it absolutely clear we're going to give an account, not only for calculated, planned, strategic word, but careless word. Because careless word comes from our heart. So what's going on in here? Is it good? Is it wholesome? What are you feeding it? Are you feeding in good and godly stuff so we can bring out things that are a blessing and have a right use of our tongue? Here's one of my favorite Proverbs, 26:19. Is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Here you got a person who somehow, in some way, deceives his neighbor falsely. And his neighbor somehow, in some way, realized it, called him on it, and hey, I was just joking with you. I was just teasing you. Those are idle words. To hurt people for entertainment is wrong. I know sarcasm is a real popular thing today. Sarcasm used to cut and make people bleed. They'll always deny that they weren't serious, but behind the scene, God knows. He knows the heart. That's why he wrote this verse for us. So, beloved, be careful that you don't use language that is disparaging and cutting and hurting and calculated to hurt people. Bring to the point number 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another. Now, every one of us know lying is wrong, but we've done it. We misrepresented the facts, didn't give all the truth. We say one thing and do another. I'll do that, but don't. To lie or lying is to deliberately deceive, to give false and misleading information. Let me make it plain and simple to you. God hates a lying tongue. In his list of things that he hated in Proverbs 6:17, he said, a proud look, a lion tongue, and hand that shed blood. So you got a person who shed blood on the life of another person. That's pretty violent. When you're hurting people to the point where you're bringing blood, and he equated that with lion tongue and a proud look. Well, how much does God hates it because he knows what's here that brings out a proud look or use of a tongue that lies. People, we lie because we don't want to get in trouble. We lie because we want to minimize the discipline, the correction that we're going to have to face instead of owning up and taking it like a person should. If you did wrong, fessed up to it. Don't admit to anything you haven't done, but don't deny what you have done. A lot of times God talked about lying in the court of law to misrepresent, to steer the cage or the jurors in a different direction. That's why they had, you know, tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you God. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. That's one of the strongest words that God uses for his utter loathsome hatred for something. An abomination, kind of a term that speaks to the scent, the smell, where you smell something and it, oh my goodness, you get instantly repulsed by it. When God sees these kinds of sins, he is instantly revolted by it. It's not a, well, you know, that's being naughty. No, he is, whoa, this is an abomination to me. It is intense. Lying lips are an abomination, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Now, which side do you want to be on? When we lie, we displease the Lord greatly. And a lot of times we lie because somebody may hurt you, you might not like somebody for whatever reason, and you use your tongue, and you let your tongue get away to hurt people, to lie, to say things that are not true. Here's one for you, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. Just like they have bent their bow to shoot those, like we did in Psalm, those bitter words. They're calculated, they're planned. Lies. Here's what he said about them. They are not valiant for the truth. Why do they lie? Because they don't care about the truth. They don't fight and defend the truth. So if you're a liar and have a tendency to lie and be lying, then you really don't love the truth. We, beloved, belong to a God of truth, who is always true and truth. Lying is characteristic of Satan. In John 8:44, but you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So when we lie, we act like Satan. But God does not lie, ever. Titus 1, verse 2, God who cannot lie, promised before time began. So, beloved, when we are lying, we imitate Satan and not our Heavenly Father. We have to be careful with our speech, beloved. We are to put it off. We are to mortify it. If you struggle with the tongue, if that's your sin of choice, that's what you have. You know, we too often we always look at the drunkard and the thief and the murderer. Well, what about the liars and people who get angry and the lid that we've been looking at today? Only God can do his work in us to deal with these when we lean on him and the power of the Spirit. It's not simply an act of the will, though that's part of it. We have to be engaged and be diligent about it. Therefore, in Ephesians 4:25, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We are to put away lying. Here's a verse I've used often when I deal with lost people, sharing the gospel. But the Revelation 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now everybody understands every murderer should die and go to hell, and a lot of other, obviously, unbelief. If you refuse to reject, you refuse to accept Christ, and look to Christ and flee to Christ for salvation, obviously you made a call that was wrong and it's going to cost you. But it's also an all liars. How many murders did the person have to commit we call a murderer? How many lies? Praise God for the grace of God, amen, and the blood covers our path lies. Oh, beloved, the Bible said in Proverbs 13:5, a righteous man hates lying. He has so developed a godly awareness of what God views about truth and lying that he refused to go there. But a righteous man hates lying. We have to. Even Psalms 119 talked about, they that love the Lord hate sin. If you love the Lord, you would hate lying as well, even when you lie. We always hate it when others lie to us, but God equally hates it when we lie. Let's face our own issues, our own misuse of the tongue. He didn't give you that ability to use it as you plead for destruction. I went throughout the scripture to look at how many different ways the wicked use their tongue. They use their tongue to lie, to flatter, for vanity, for falsehood, to intently misrepresent like a sharp sword, for folly and foolishness, to divide, to hurt, to destroy, to be spiteful, to be perverse and twisted. Backbiting, strife, evil, and the list goes on. Even in 2 Peter, when he was talking about the false teachers, he said it this way: when they use their tongue, they speak great swelling words of emptiness. Beloved, when you misrepresent the use of the tongue and you use your tongue wrong and dishonoring, it's not only destructive, but when it comes to anything that you might contribute to a conversation, you have nothing but vanity and emptiness to contribute. Then I took time to look at how the tongue and speech of the godly would do, use. Zechariah 8:16. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Everybody speak truth to everybody. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous bring forth wisdom. They don't bring sarcasm. They're not going to bring folly and foolishness, hurtful. They're not going to use their tongue and be toxic. They're going to be, their tongue is going to be passing on wisdom. Wisdom that helps and heals and guides and leads, that builds and encourages. That's what wisdom from above does. We need to have the tongue of wisdom. Proverbs 12:18. The tongue of the wise promotes health. Not only physical health, but spiritual health. They don't use it to condemn and hurt people, demoralize people, abuse people with their tongue. They bring health to the situation. Here's a good one, Proverbs 12:19. The truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Hey, when you use the truth, it will have eternal youthfulness. When you speak the truth, it's always the truth, and it will always bear it fruit. But when you speak lies, your lying tongue is but for a moment. You're going to have a momentary satisfaction. You might have got a little reprieve from not getting punished as bad as you would have, but it will only be for a moment. Like any sin, it may be a temporary satisfaction and pleasure, but it will always come to be worth later, where you will get the fruit of your ways. So let's use our tongue that had lasting results on the lives of those around us. Fifteen two in Proverbs, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. They will take information and they'll use it appropriately, rightly. Just because you have information doesn't give you permission to broadcast every jot and tittle of it to the whole known world. Have some common sense, godly wisdom. Some people need to be protected for healing. Oh, I love this one. Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue. God's people's speech is wholesome. It brings strength and comfort and encouragement and applied balm to a sore, to a wound. Even when it talked about that great woman in Proverbs 31. One of her distinctive marks, I love it, Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Aren't those good words? Laws of kindness. Now, that's not just applying to a good woman. It applies to anybody who used their tongue to apply wisdom, and their tongue is the law of kindness, not meanness. Not slander, derogatory language. So often we think of filthy language, all we can think of is cussing. It's a whole lot more than that. A lot of people just say it. It's another thing, that word, filthy language, is calculated to hurt. I love this one, Isaiah 50, verse 4. You need to write that down. Isaiah 50, verse 4. I've always prayed for this often. More times than you know, if you've ever come to me for counseling and I know you're in a bad strait, meaning you're struggling, I had God and prayed that prayer in Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. When people have been beaten and battered, folks, we need to know how to help them with the right words at the right time. Dear God, may he help us have the tongue of the learned. He had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Oh, that's a good use of the tongue, amen? To be able to come alongside and help. How about this, Ephesians 4:29? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. The word edification means to build up. Not falsely, not build up self-esteem. We're talking about, in this case, in this context, build them up in our most holy faith. Edify them, strengthen them, get them on the right path in the right way, that you may impart grace to the hearer. If there's ever a time we can minister grace to people, it is by the right use of our tongue that edifies. Not cut down, not gossip, not be toxic, speaking mean. Whether you realize it or not, when you misuse your tongue, you have a reputation for being a toxic person. You may not think you are, but if you use it and use it often, especially when all you ever can talk about a certain situation or a certain person, and it's just bad stuff, you need some serious work on your heart. God said to put it off. He said earlier in verse 5, mortify it, put it to death, weaken it. Do not yield to it. It's amazing how we know how to be silent when we need to be, but don't know how to be quiet when we ought to be. Colossians later on in chapter 4 and verse 6, it said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. No, that doesn't mean take a salt shaker with you everywhere you go. It is learning how earlier use words that edify, that brings about grace. It's not only important that we use the tongue right and say the right words. It is important that we learn the mastery of timing. Bible speaks to this. Proverbs 15:23, a man had joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. There are times when we need to say something, but we need wisdom when to say it. That it is, as we see here in that verse, that it is a word spoken in due season. Even later on in Proverbs 25, verse 11, he uses the imagery of a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the settings of silver. If there's a lot of places in the scripture where a timely word was very significant in biblical history. One of them was found in the story between David and Abigail. We know the story. David would madder than a hornet, was ready to kill her husband. So what did Abigail do? 1 Samuel 25, verse 32 and 3. And David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice. And blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. Beautifully illustrated of what I just said on the timeliness of counsel and good word. What if she was late? What if she was timid? What if she was, I'm not going to get in the way. It's not my business. Well, it kind of was. Her husband was going to be dead and she was going to be a widow shortly if she didn't intervene. Besides, it was the right thing to do. So, Let's remember and ask the question, where does slander and abusive and lying speech come from? It comes from the human heart. Our Lord said in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you're full of is what you talk about. If you have, you know, you might be full of dumb stuff that's good, but as soon as you direct your attention to a certain person or a certain thing, and you got nothing positive about it, you have done nothing to mortify that situation in your own heart and mind and be transformed and renewed in your thinking regarding that. And so you turn that attention, and on that subject, boy, the abundance of the heart on that topic comes out. He later on in chapter 15, verse 18 and 19, he said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. All three of those are in that list that we talked about tonight. Evil thoughts. False witness, that's slander and lying, blasphemies. So what are we to do, beloved? Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 21:23, did you notice Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue? Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. I haven't met people in my life that if you ask the question, is your sole purpose of existence in life it to be miserable? Nobody says yes. Everybody wants to be happy and blessed, amen? We talk about, from a Christian perspective, a blessed life from God's perspective. If you want a blessed life, beloved, take the advice of 1 Peter 3:10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Did you hear that? You want a blessed life? You want to see good days ahead? You want to see your relationship around you and you and good and healthy and strong and robust and that the blessing, then we need to rightly use our tongue. We are to put off of these things that devastate relationships. And if we want to see good and love life, then refrain your tongue from evil and from speaking deceit. May this be our prayer. Psalms 139:23-4. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So in closing, please look at verse 9 as we look at that last phrase. As Paul, after he ends about lying, since you have put off the old man with his deed. Here Paul reminds them again why they are to put off these sinful practices. We're in Christ. We do not live in this way anymore. That's the former life. That is, you and I both know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, Christ securing our redemption on the cross and the work of the Holy Spirit and the new birth and our ongoing transformation into the likeness of Jesus Christ, we could not put off anything from the old man from our indwelling sin. But we can because he had given us the power to do so. Permanent indwelling presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us to help us to have the right desires and enable us to follow through what he is commanding us to do here. We are to remember 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God. What a blessed hope. But why would we go back If you've not forgotten what we learned earlier last week, after he went through the list in verse 5, he lit two reasons why we need to put to death those sins. Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Why would you live a life or do sinful practices that God is going to judge the children of wrath and disobedience with? Second thing was in verse 7, that you yourself once walked when you lived in there. That's how you used to be. That's what he's saying here. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So, beloved, since we have put off the old man, the sinful act of the past, because of our hidden life with Christ, he is our life. He is our everything. So let's be careful to address the six things we talked about today. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemies or slander, abusive language, and lying. Oh, Lord, do a work in us. Thank you for your word. It is crystal clear, your view on these sins in our lives. You don't want them in us. You came to save us, not just to give us a ticket home to heaven, but to begin the work of sanctification, to transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Christ never did any of those. He is our perfect model and pattern. Oh, Lord, forgive us. We confess our sins of failing in these areas. Help us to be aware of it and make a conscientious, diligent effort to put off these things. May we look to the Holy Spirit to reveal them to our hearts and lives. Lord, when we are in the middle of the act, whether we're angry, filled with malice, or saying things wrongly with the use of our tongue, convict us at that moment. Bring people along to help us to be aware of these things, to hold it accountable. May we seek to please you in all that we do. We ask all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.